we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Monday morning in Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMA 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you have tuned into the Refresh radio broadcast. 30 minutes of discussion out of Isaiah chapter 61 today is where we are going to be. I want you to know that if you are alive, you have a purpose, and God is going to do great things in you and through you. And so we want to thank you for tuning into today's broadcast. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and we're getting ready here in a few weeks, just a little over a month, we're going to be celebrating our 65th anniversary as a church. We have Jerry Hill, who was married to Steve Hill, who was the evangelist that God used to see about 150,000 people give their life to the Lord at Brownsville Assembly of God back in the 1990s and early 2000s, about 30,000 people a year. And listen, God is still in the redemption business. And so we're looking forward to what God is going to do here in the days ahead. So if you want to put June the 10th, Saturday night, on your calendar, she is going to be with us that night, and she will be ministering with us Sunday morning at 10:30 on June the 11th as well. So guys, you can pay attention right now. I give you a heads up. This coming Sunday is Mother's Day, May the 14th, and so you'll want to begin making plans for that now. We have a ladies' event going on this Saturday. My wife's been working on it literally for months, and we're real excited about what's going to take place at the ladies' event this coming Saturday. And let's see, what else? Oh, yes, we need to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. I asked our church one day, how many of you are thankful for air conditioning? Do you realize that one of the reasons for the growth explosion in the population of Florida, one of the leading reasons for that was the invention of air conditioning? The heat down here, it was just so intense that a lot of people didn't want to come down this far, and the air conditioner has made it possible for us to live here. And so if yours is struggling a little bit, I want to encourage you to give Bill Andrike a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh radio broadcast. He'll come out. He'll take a look at your situation. He'll give you the best solution that is possible, and he will treat you honestly. And if you want to talk to him about Jesus, that would just make his day. He loves talking about the Lord. So 321-759-3284 if you need help with your air conditioning system. So this coming Wednesday, we will be back to our normal Wednesday night format. Now, if you are expecting the Women of Worth meeting to be taking place tonight, I need to let you know that's not taking place because of the ladies' event that is coming up this coming Saturday at noon. So with that being said, let's get back to the Word of God, because there are exciting things in store for you and I. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. And we're going to stop right there. You need to understand how far out of the realm of reason this particular prophecy was. So, you know, things were not looking well for the nation of Judah. They weren't looking well for the people of God, the people who were living in Jerusalem. It was a very difficult season, but Jesus was making a transition. And I want to remind you that the God who said he can make the desert to blossom and to be fruitful, he not only does that with agriculture, he does that with people and with civilizations, and he can turn it around. And so on Friday, where we talked about giving things up so that God could be glorified, today I want to talk about picking up some things that need to be picked up. And one of those is the mission that God has for you. The mission that God has for you. God has a purpose. You were created on purpose for his purpose. You are not an accident. And so, and I can't tell you what that purpose is. You know, a lot of times I'll tell people at church, hey, you know, what do you feel called to do? And it might be something that they're naturally gifted at. It might be something that they are not naturally gifted at. I know a person who went to a meeting to prevent the pastor from being the only one that showed up at the meeting. It was a meeting about doing prison ministry. This person had no interest whatsoever in doing prison ministry. He, like I said, he just went to make sure that someone showed up. And when he got there, he actually discovered the passion for his life was ministering to inmates. It lit his fire. It became something. It's not that he was necessarily naturally positioned to be able to accomplish that. It was just that he had a tremendous calling of God to be able to do that. So I have a friend, and he's told me, he said, you know, before I met you and I found out that you were coming to Merit Assembly of God, I thought you were crazy, and I haven't changed my mind yet. And I've had a number of people who've told me similar things. You see, Merit Assembly of God didn't always have the, you know, a real luxurious, feel to it. Wasn't something that people necessarily knew a lot about. And so, you might need to hear why I'm there. I told you on Friday's broadcast about 1 Peter 5:10, and that's true. But back in 1984, I was at a discipleship camp. And at that discipleship camp, we were supposed to have 2 hours where we didn't talk to anyone. We were just supposed to get alone. We were supposed to pray, and we were supposed to hear from God, and we were supposed to write down what we heard. And I was going through a pretty difficult season of ministry at that point in time. I was a youth pastor. I wasn't really at that point in time all that gifted to be a youth pastor, but it was the door that God opened for me. And so I walked through that door, and it was a season of growing. And so I was talking, I was praying, God, is ministry always going to be this hard? And he said, no. And I started to rejoice, and he said, it gets harder. And I didn't realize it, but he was right. And a few months later, I was I was fired. And I was talking with a pastor, and he said, look, my daddy was a pastor, and his saying was that there wasn't a minister worth his salt that hadn't been fired at least once. And so that was some encouragement. And my pastor, he helped me to heal over that. But at that discipleship camp that day, I sat there for 2 hours, and outside of what I just told you, I didn't get any response from God at all. I'd been a counselor at camp for 4 weeks prior to this, and this was my fifth week at camp. And this week I was just getting to enjoy whatever came along. And so I was walking across the softball fields of Carlinville, Illinois, the campgrounds there. And I saw a piece of trash, and God spoke to me, and he said, I want you to pick that up. And if you just looked at the field, you wouldn't have seen it, but I happened to look down, and I see that. And as I walked a little further towards the bunk, he said, pick that up, and pick this up, and pick this up over here. And pretty soon I had picked up so much garbage that had just been thrown down and discarded that I was now having to use my T-shirt as a little mini basket to carry the things that have been discarded. And I got to the bunkhouse, and I put everything into the trash receptacle, and he said, I am calling you to pick up things that other people have deemed worthless, and I'm going to restore value to them. And that's my ministry. That's what my wife and I do. That's why we came to Merit Assembly of God, is to restore value. That's our church mission statement, is restoring value spiritually and relationally. And so today I want to tell you that people who are willing to allow God to operate with them through the Spirit of the Lord and with the anointing that Jesus has, that if we're willing to give up our negative emotions for the encouragement, the optimism, the belief and the faith that we can have in God, that he is going to make something beautiful out of our life. He says, I've got a mission for you. And that mission is found in verse number 4. I want you to rebuild the old ruins. I want you to raise up the former desolations. I want you to repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. You see, we live in a society right now that lives in the new. Everybody wants something new. A new car. I'll be honest with you, it's been so long since we had a brand new vehicle. In fact, I've never had a brand new vehicle in the entire time I've driven cars. I've driven some new vehicles that I rented places, but I've never owned one. I remember somebody was making fun of me about the car that I drove in high school. It was a 1966 Corvair convertible, I believe it was the year. And they were making fun of me. And I said, look, anybody can drive a new car, but it takes a person of real substance to drive a vehicle with character to it. And I tell you what, I would love to have that car back again. It wasn't that it ran all that good. It broke down a great deal, but it was just a fun little car. And so was the next one that I drove. It was a, Olds 442 convertible, and it was very nice. It had some life in it. Anybody can live in something that doesn't have any problems, but you know, this project of going to the places that have been neglected, they've fallen into a state of disrepair. They've been just overwhelmed with the situations, and they just need somebody to come in and show them some love. That's what my wife and I are called by God to do. And so Not only did we do that at Merit Assembly of God, we did that with a house. My son and I purchased a home when he came back from overseas, and we've refurbished that, and it's just a cute, adorable little house over in Winter Haven that my daughter nicknamed the Jesus House. And here was what she said: "Dad, that house needs Jesus." And I said, "That's what we're going to call this house." And it's our Jesus House project. And we like to find things that have been cast off, and not just things, but people who've just been beat up and abused by life. We like to come and see God restore them to the pristine condition that He knows is in there. Amen? And so He says, they shall rebuild the old ruins. There is an intentionality that is required to rebuild something. It always pains me. It pains me to see churches close, but there's a part of me that always hates to see when an old building gets knocked down for just a new cookie cutter building to come and be put in its place there. There's just something about that just makes me a little sad. But God is He's in the rebuilding business. He's in the rebuilding business. He said, they shall raise up the former desolations. A desolate place is a lifeless place. It's an abandoned place. It's a place that nobody really cares to go to anymore. And, you know, I read the news and I see that they're talking about that sociologists are expecting that a huge number of shopping malls that are in existence in America right now, that they are going to become desolate places. I spent a lot of time in shopping malls because I sold shoes for 11 years. And so whenever my wife tries to get me to go to the mall, it's like, is there any place else that we can go? I've been a good boy. Don't make me go back. But I'm telling you that if those malls become desolate places, that God's going to breathe life into them. God's going to breathe life into them, not as places of business. And believe me, I have some opinions. I don't have a thus saith the Lord, but I think when you as a business retailer are saying, look, you can't say Merry Christmas and you can't talk about this and you can't talk about that, and then you wonder why nobody comes to your place anymore, I think there's a reason behind that. You can't mute God, if I can quote my sermon from a week ago. You can't mute God and then wonder why things fall apart the way that they do. I want to encourage you that if you are allowing God to function in your life, even during the hard times, in such a manner that He is glorified, you are going to find that the old ruins, those places that have fallen apart and the places that are lifeless, you're going to find revival taking place there. Well, that's why we're so excited about what God's going to do in June. We're believing for revival. We want to invite everybody who can to come out and be a part of our Saturday night service. Even if you have another church home, just come and get touched by God. Allow the Spirit of God to breathe life into you. And we would just love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We need more soul winners in Brevard County. We need the Spirit of God moving. It says, they shall repair the ruined cities. A lot of our inner cities right now are really, really going through difficult seasons. And God is the first step in that solution. We need to put Him back in charge. You know, the Bible talks about when the righteous rule, what it's like, and when the unrighteous rule, what it's like there. And I tell you, I believe that if you are looking at a situation that is falling apart, you might want to look and see who's in charge of the situation. And if that person isn't hearing from God, you might want to talk to them about their salvation. You might want to talk to them about, hey, when was the last time you got alone with God and asked him what the solution to this situation is? Because he kind of specializes in dealing with difficulties. It says the desolations of many generations. I was at a men's conference here the week after Easter, the weekend after Easter, and the speaker happened to be a guy who preaches at a lot of youth events and a lot of youth camps and youth conferences. And he talked about all of the kids that he has run across through the years, and that almost all of the issues that they deal with are traced back to problems that they had with their father. And sometimes it goes back not just one generation, but two and three and four generations. I want you to be a person that says, you know what? Mine was the last generation that is going to deal with that desolation, with that lifeless place. From here on out, this generation is going to have the life of God. God is going to be the source of our life and the source of our joy. And we're going to see his fruitfulness and we're going to see his blessing. You need to be able to look at that situation and say, that's what the past looked like. But the future is not going to look like that anymore. The future is going to look entirely different. It's going to change, and that's what begins to take place. He said, if you will focus on these things that I'm telling you about focusing on restoring what I had planted in the first place and making sure that they're restored to the way that I want them to be, he said, I'm going to give you a promotion. He said, I'm going to have to bring in people from the outside to do the jobs that you were doing. You're going to be able to, they're going to have to come in and take care of the agriculture. They're going to have to take care of the vines and the vineyard. They're going to have to take care of your fields and your animals. And he says, but you're going to get a promotion, and you shall be named the priests of the Lord. The priests of the Lord. Now, remember, these are people that are just being talked about a few verses earlier as being so overwhelmed with mourning and sorrow and the spirit of heaviness that they didn't think that they could go on. And now God has said, you're restoring that which I wanted restored, and I'm going to give you a promotion, and you are going to be a priesthood unto me. I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 9, where it says, but you are a chosen generation. This is New Testament. A lot of times people want to look and see truths in the Old Testament and say, well, that was the Old Testament. Okay, here's the truth in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Are you ready for a promotion today? Are you willing to lay down those things that are trying to keep you imprisoned in the bondage of despair and discouragement? Are you willing to pick up the responsibility? Say, you know what? I'm going to make the most out of what's left. It might just be a ruin now of what it once was, but I'm going to make the most out of this situation. Some other people might see nothing of value here, but I believe that God has something of value. And he said, when you start restoring that which I want to thrive, he said, I'm going to give you a promotion. You're going to be called the servants of our God. The King James Version has the word ministers with a capital M there. And that's what a minister is a servant. Are you living today to serve God, or are you believing in God for God to serve you? Are you living to serve God, or are you believing God for Him to serve you? I tell you, David, who was anointed king of the land, he said, man, if I can just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, I don't have to sit upon the throne. If I can just hold the door, if I can just tend the door of the house of God, it will be a wonderful life. He says, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So listen to what he says. He's telling these people who are got nothing but ashes and mourning going on. He said, instead of your shame, I'm going to give you double honor. What's that double honor look like? First of all, it says you're going to be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. That's a double honor for me. Whatever I can do for God. Instead of confusion, by the way, God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of chaos. They shall rejoice in their portion. I want to remind you what God told Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. You know what I'm excited about heaven for? It has nothing to do with the crystal sea, has nothing to do with the streets of gold, has nothing to do with the mansion. It doesn't have anything to do with the no more sickness, no more death, no more tears, has nothing to do with that. The thing I'm looking forward to about heaven is the fact that I get to worship my Jesus. That's my portion. That's what I'm looking forward to. And it said, in their land they shall possess double. Okay, now remember, the land was their inheritance. That had been given to them by God. They weren't supposed to give that up for anything or to anyone. And that's what got Naboth killed by Ahab or by Jezebel. He said, everlasting joy shall be theirs. I know that society tells us we're supposed to be bummed out because it's Monday. But best I can tell, Jesus is on the throne even on Mondays. And so I encourage you, if you've got no other reason, rejoice today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice today. In fact, let everlasting joy be theirs. May it be yours today, whether good, whether bad, or in between, whatever comes your way. Say, you know what? My joy has no end because I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. You're going to have a great day today. If not, we'll give you your money back for this program today. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new. I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.